Yo, what do you want? Beak or jaws? Feathers or fur? Sharp teeth or feet with claws? Whatever's preferred. They'll grant you all last requests to steady your nerves. Then podcast the body parts get severed and served. Bring your weak shit where the wolf and owl are. That ain't just a mistake, that's an awful howler. Both of them are known to pull up at your shows. Have the crowd witnessing a murder like they rolled in with a gang of crows. Fuck the censorship, let them see the whole thing. They stay dressed to kill, never sheep's clothing. Dark enough to turn the sun to the moon. You'll see nothing, all you hear is a huff a puff. Expect killings, red spilling and flesh ripping. Impressive in it, the death bringing his head spinning. Just kidding, every word in his song's about two grown men dressed up as a bird and a dog.
Oh my gosh, it's the Wolf and Owl back in your ears.
Boom.
Wolf and Owl is here today. Clay,
you know what I love, right? Is you always come sprinting in, right? Like a messenger from the 1800s with an important note for the Queen. And actually, you don't even know what the note says. So it's so beautiful. You start with this really big song. And
well, it's because I'm trying to do it. I just always think I want to start high energy because I always start things, phone calls, wedding vows, sex, dates, kids' birthdays, very low energy. Yeah. And I feel like I sort of give a bad start. So then I overcompensate. But then what happens is I realise that isn't me, actually. You know, I sort of came into this like a kid's birthday entertainer.
Would you? And you would be my favourite kid's birthday entertainer.
Yeah?
I would pay fortunes for you to come to
Grace. What would you do? Would you book me for kids that you hate?
No, I'd book you for Grace. Sure. Just like, because then I think as well it would be quite good for her just to sort of... Well, number one, you'd be invited anyway just to sort of lurk about and stuff. But it would be quite good if you were like dressed up as a clown. And then like...
Well, like
you were quite somber, but then you fell into a big cheesecake.
Yeah. What I'd do is I'd fall into a cheesecake, then I'd get up, dust myself off, and then I would just mime to Tears of a Clown.
It's such a bleak song, isn't it, Tears of a Clown?
Yeah.
I always feel sorry for clowns if they haven't got anywhere to shower after a birthday party and they've got to drive back to their house dressed still as a clown with sort of pie on their face.
I always think that about like prop comics and shit like that. Do you know what I mean? Or anybody that's like... has to dress up or take shit with them. Whenever I used to do gigs and there'd be like prop comics with like a suitcase with like loads of shit in it, I just think, and then like unpacking it and packing it all, like afterwards, you know, like you turn up and you've got all the stuff. Yeah. If you've driven yourself there, that's one thing, but taking that on the tube or having to be done up on the way to the thing.
If you've got any kind of suitcase or anything on stage with you and you basically fucking die in your hole, it's such a fucking long thing having to put it all back in your box and then sort of get off stage.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's also shit if you're a following comic or a compere and you've basically got to come on and there's other... I remember like decks of cards and stuff being on the stage and sort of come on just sort of like following someone like that. And it's just been, oh, for fuck's sake.
I did. Did you ever do the Laughing Horse?
Yeah.
New activity? Yeah. So I did that once. And it was like... I can't remember which round it was, but I got knocked out of that round anyway. But the guy on before me was spraying water about and like confetti and shit like that. It was like proper mad act. And we haven't explained it. Laughing Horse is this new act competition that like you get to the fight, like, you know, all these comedy competitions where you're trying to get a bit of cachet, get yourself a review.
And Laughing Horse was run by a guy whose friends won it nearly every year, right, from what I remember.
Oh my God, these are big accusations you're throwing about here.
No, but
let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. That horse is only laughing when it's not got an enemy in its sight. So be careful, mate. All right?
No, but I just always...
Then that horse will drop its head, it will stop smiling, it will fucking charge.
I remember like that. It just felt like that was one of the biggest clicks going when I was starting out. It felt like a little vibe. Is it still going, Laughing Horse?
Yes, it is, yeah. And if anything, it's more powerful than ever. A lot of people say that if you make an enemy of the Laughing Horse, your time in this industry is limited. But listen, you spoke from the heart, you shot from the hip.
That's me, man. I've always fucking done that. I always say, I'm a renegade.
Yeah. So anyway, so this guy had like thrown water and confetti and shit like that all over the place. And then I went up. I don't know what was wrong with me. But you know, sometimes when you're just like too honest, I just walked up and I went, this is literally the first thing I've said in a fucking comedy competition. I was like, oh, look at the fucking state of this. I was supposed to...
See, I'd have put you through just for that.
It's just like, you know, like, nobody knows you. So they watched this and I thought I was just like this sort of diva. This, oh, look at this bloody stage of a mess. I'm supposed to do my jokes about my dick and my family situation in this fucking state, am I?
With confetti.
It's an absolute disgrace.
With confetti on the back of your Nike Airs, like an old bit of toilet paper.
Mate, I have had an absolute shocking night.
Whoa. Party wrong?
No, not party wrong at all. I am nervous now about getting myself back into kilter, okay?
Oof.
I don't know if kilter's the right word, but let me explain the scenario.
Hit me.
Wednesday, Thursday, I'm recording my special, right?
Shout out to every lucky person who's going to go and see this, by the way. I'm genuinely gutted. I'm devastated I'm gigging these nights because I actually think it's going to be electric. I've got to say... I think it's going to be talked about as one of the biggest nights in. I genuinely mean that. It's going to be electric.
Thank you, man. And do you know what I was thinking is, just before I got on this, I thought, I hope Tom can heap some more pressure on this situation. So thank you. Thank you for making my dreams come true. No, any joke. Anyway, so last night, I was a bit like tired yesterday, right? And I had a warm-up in Basingstoke just to get the show back on its feet or whatever, because I've not toured it for a bit. I'm lying backstage. Lying in the dressing room backstage. And I'm just like... feeling a bit knackered, right?
Yeah.
And I think to myself, I want to get... Normally, I feel a bit knackered and I think it would be fine. But last night, I was feeling like more knackered and thinking this is going to affect the show. So basically, to get myself out of it, I smashed 1.5 sugar-free Red Bulls, right?
Oof.
And Red now, Bull run. Red Bull run. Now, this is the conundrum that I'm facing, right? I went on stage and had a really good time. And I was like, the Red Bull did what it was supposed to do, right? I then get in the car and I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to get home for 11:15. I've had an absolute result here, right? I'm doing the gig, get home early doors, get myself to sleep, get my head down, wake up in the morning, bright and breezy, right? I lay down in bed and literally never been more awake in my entire life. Do you know what I mean? Like, if somebody had said to me, 2 a.m, you got to do the tour show again, fucking get me up there, right? Absolutely, live wire, Jesus. Anyway, I start thinking I want to look at my phone, I want to watch videos and shit like that, but I don't want to wake up the swan. So I go to the next room and I sit down there and like I'm just watching videos and shit like that, just to sort of like, I think that's the opposite of what you're supposed to do, but I'm just going to say, I don't want to go downstairs and start watching TV and shit. So I'm thinking, hopefully I'll just get tired and like pass out. Anyway, like a couple of hours later, I think, okay, I'm going to go to bed properly now. I get up, I walk into the bedroom, our bedroom, and I got to turn left to go to the bathroom. And I don't know what the fuck happened. I forgot there was a wall there. I smashed my face straight. I would just walk in the darkness.
God.
Full on into a wall, just bang, right? Like proper fucking hammered my face back. Right, and then I like touch my this fucking blood. I like split my lip. There's fucking blood.
Oh my God, you're
this
joking,
is like 3
bro.
O'clock in the morning. I'm like pissing blood all over myself. I go into the bathroom, and like you know when like you lose perspective when it's the middle of the night.
Yeah.
I look at my lip and I go, my lip's bleeding. It's gonna swell up. I can't do the special. What the fuck am I gonna do? I start freaking out in the middle of the night. I'm just like googling how to minimize lip swelling. I'm just like fucking trying to get a cold press on it. Anyway, suffice to say that did not. Why am I saying all these quite cliche things now?
No, I quite like it. I like it. It's good storytelling.
Anyway, I end up spending the rest of the night panicking about what my lip's going to look like in the morning. And thankfully...
It looks fine.
You see a little bit...
Yeah, I see a little cut there, but it looks good, boy. It's okay.
But anyway, that's the night I've had, mate. So
let me just say quickly, number one is...
Yeah.
Lucky you have CCTV outside your house.
Yes, I do, yeah.
Very good, because... The worry would be, well, Lisa might think it's just in case Lisa thinks, oh, like, you know, why is the blood all over the wall and stuff? And then it's like, she starts worrying that you've been out, like, fucking doing some weird shit, like, at night. Do you know what I mean? That would be my worry.
Well, I was slightly nervous that I was going to wake her up. And then
she didn't wake up for any of it.
No.
Wow, she's a deep sleeper. No. I've had a shit night's sleep. I've had a bad.
What happened?
Similarly, I gigged last night. Shout out to Birmingham. Well, Birmingham Glee is like, what an amazing... And actually, talking about prop comics, I think it's Chris. Is it Chris who runs it there?
Where, sorry?
Birmingham Glee.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
One of my favourite things is he looked at me. He said, is it just comics and mics? And he just whispered, there's no guitars, isn't there? I was like,
I would love to see you do a guitar.
I mean, he took the piss out of me saying you should have a ukulele, but maybe I'll learn. I mean, that'd just be like fucking Spanish and everything else. I mean, you say we're going to do great gig, amazing.
I've been doing it half an hour. Have you not been doing it?
I've had time. Like, we are going to do it this week. Actually, we've got a little night plan. We've
brought a bottle of wine. Hold on a minute. Last week, what did we say?
Yeah, no, but I've had no time to do it.
Do you think I'm sitting on my ass filling my thumbs every day all day?
Mate, if I could find the time. All right, I'm going
to... No. Stop.
I've brought Rosetta Stone.
No, listen. Last week on this podcast, right, what did we say? When you get like this, I've become a fucking child.
This is you as a teacher. I regret being fucking 12 and having my homework.
What is the commitment we made to each other?
Yeah, mate, by the time it gets to the point where we've got to have a conversation in Spanish, I will be better than you. But
this is classic fucking Tom Davis here, right? You've not put the work in, all right? Why do you think you're going to be better? Because it's just natural talent.
No, but I will put the hard yards in.
What is the commitment we made? Half an hour every day.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
And what have you done?
I've done none of it yet. Oh, no, I've got the app on my phone.
Okay. So you've done none of it. Yeah, are you going to do it this week?
Yeah, I will do it this week, yeah.
Okay. Full disclosure, I've not even downloaded the app. I've done nothing.
Well, so I'm already in front of you. Yeah, you're genuinely thinking, oh, man. I had like that feeling.
I just wanted to get in your fucking head, man. Huh? Psyched you out.
I'm going
to
destroy you in Spanish now.
Oh my God, this is Red Bull Rom is back, baby. I think it's still affecting me.
So I did the gig, and at the moment, my bro, my pal, as if he's driving me to these gigs, right? He's a legend, this guy. He's one of my favorite people in the world. He's hilarious. But he insisted on like going to his favorite three takeaway places in Birmingham.
His favorite three?
Yeah, he's like, he worked it out. He's like, big bro, when you get out, I'm going to have like have anything you want. So he's like, you feel like chicken swarmers on. So he bought me a chicken swarmer. He bought me all these little, like, I said, oh, have you got any nibbly bits? It took me quite a long time to explain like nibbly bits, what I meant by that. But he had like different samosas, because it was incredible. This like all different chutney. It was literally like one of the best buffets I've had. And like he brought some vegetarian stuff for Catherine, which I'm now in trouble because I ate everything wrong.
What, you ate all the veggie stuff as well?
I ate everything. I was starving. And also, it's like an hour and a 20-minute drive back, and I had food on my lap. Like, I'm sorry, that shit was fucking... I hadn't eaten since fucking midday. Can you eat before you go on stage?
No. Well, actually, I try not to. But I started eating, like, right up until the minute I get on stage. But
really?
It's a bad idea.
Oh, man, I can't eat within 4 hours of going on stage.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just nerves and fucking, I worry about it. Fucking, yeah. So I'm literally eating his food and he's looking at me like, careful, because some of that is for Catherine. There's like just empty containers.
Sorry, where did you eat this? In the car?
In the car, yeah. Yeah.
And this guy's got you what? Sorry, pakoras, samosas.
Like, he's like three different sorts of pakoras. He's got me some couple of different samosas.
So for an hour and 20, he's had you eating what? Basically, what sounds like a three-course Indian meal in the back of his car.
No, I was sitting in the front with him.
Was he planning on... You sit in the front with him?
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus fucking Christ. Was he planning on firebombing this car after? I mean, how could it... Who the fuck? Let me tell you. I've picked up an Indian takeaway and taken it to my house, like 10 minutes down the road. I've had to sell the fucking car, right?
He was eating because, as well. Because the curry's...
Yeah, sure. But what, that car, like, you can't, who the fuck, sorry, man, who the fuck is openly encouraging people to eat fucking Indian food?
A legend, man, an absolute, this guy's like, genuinely, I was like, it's one of the best journeys I've ever had in my life.
Yeah, you were eating samosas the entire time. It's like when my mum says, oh, the children seem to prefer my pottage, and they go, yeah. Because you put 3 kilos of sugar in every bowl, right? Any car journey, literally, an S-Class Mercedes with nothing in it versus a fucking clapped-out old 83 Escort, but it's got an Indian takeaway in it. That's Tom's favourite driver.
Mate, of course, I'm wolfing it down. But anyway, so I get back in, and I foolishly as well, when I phoned Catherine, I was like, and she knows Asif as well. He's like a family friend. So I was like... Oh, yeah, Asif's brought us loads of nice bits. So when I got to bed last night, Catherine was like, I was so sweet of Asif getting that. I'm looking forward to having my bit, like the, you know, these vegetable pakoras. And
hold on. How does she know about these vegetables?
Because when I called her, I said, Asif's brought us some. But she knows Asif well. So she's like,
right.
And also Asif, like, you know, he's literally incredible. He's an incredible guy. He's been amazing for us as a family. He's, you know, helped us out with hospital trips and stuff. And he's just a good guy. So at some point he would have said, did you get the, yeah. But then, so I told her about them. But then I'm lying in bed thinking, oh, fuck, I've eaten all of it. There's one vegetable pakora that I put in the fridge that's so lonely.
Why did you just finish it?
And I should.
Why did you do that?
And then,
because
then,
you know what's the worst about that is then Catherine opens the fridge and she sees the container, and she knows, because you idiotically, despite knowing what you're like with food, have told her that veggie stuff is on the way. Right? So she opens the fridge. She readies herself for a little Indian reheat feast, and the joke is just one sad pakora, the runt of the pakora litter that even Tom decided it was. What, why did you leave one, by the way?
If I'm honest with you, I went to bed, right?
Yeah,
and I had like two back to back awful nightmares. I think it was down to the, like, eating spicy food late at night,
and also
I've been watching Stranger Things,
right.
The trouble for me, right, is until I watch the final of Stranger Things, it will always be, at the moment, the monster's still out there for me.
Have you seen the finale yet?
No. I'm on, like, episode 6 of the series.
Maxine.
Oh, man.
Where are you going, Maxine?
It's fucking amazing, right?
Time is nearly up for you.
I fucking love that guy.
The episode with the old guy and his eyes, and it's like,
oh, mate. That's Freddy Krueger, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it's terrifying.
Yeah,
absolutely terrifying.
Really frightening. There's like a bit. How much have you got left to watch?
I'm on like episode 6 of that series, and then I've got three left of that series, and I think I've got the two specials. Maybe I don't know.
I'm telling you, man, I'm actually jealous of you, because you're about to see some mad shit.
You know the mad thing, because Catherine's never got into it, so it's like trying to find like journeys and stuff. Like, this is the thing, right? I've got. Like, you know, when you've got, like, I've got at the moment, all my gigs are quite local to me. They're like 40 minutes away. That's why, like, if I'm gigging an hour, like 2 hours away, I can get I gigged on Saturday night, and then Sunday I worked in London. And it was like, that was nice, because I could get down into town and I could watch a couple of episodes and get right into it. But it's just hard to get watching at home. I can't really watch it with Grace there now, because I think she's got too much. It's pretty full on, isn't it? I love it.
Well, I don't think, obviously Grace won't understand what's going on, but even like the noises
sound
and shit, like that. Yeah, it's just
terrifying.
Horrifying.
Yeah,
yeah. That's a difficult one to watch before bed, I would say.
Yeah. So you've got to try and find a little time in the afternoon. I mean, I might have to just basically try and watch it this afternoon in here and just sort of like.
Do you know what I think you should do? No, but you know what? This is the great thing about watching scary stuff. Wait till everyone. I mean, I don't know how easy this is for you to do. But one of my favourite things to do when I used to come back from gigs is I liked to really freak myself out. I hate it, but love it, right?
Yeah.
And so I would come home. If everybody was asleep in the house, I would put on a horror film and sit in the dark and watch it. Yeah, because I wanted to, like, freak myself out. But then I would always regret it afterwards. So, like, it would really fuck me up. And then I wouldn't be out of sleep and I'd be freaked. But I really did enjoy it. I'd love doing that. Like, I sort of think, like, watching Stranger Things in the day.
I agree with you there. Like, also, do you find, because I find adrenaline even now, it's like, I got back last night and I was like, I literally just lay in bed. I was like, I can't sleep.
Just buzzing about how you smashed it.
I mean, I was also just buzzing that little prick Luca didn't win Love Island.
Oh, yeah. I've not watched any of it, but is it good?
It's been pretty good.
I didn't mean to sound like a granddad then. I don't mean, is Love Island good? I mean, was this series good?
It was all right. I slip in and out. I've got my own thoughts on it, but I'm not going to go into those now. But he, yeah, he's an awful human being, that Luca guy. Luca is like everything bad in a man. He's essentially all the worst things that could be in an adult man. It's like
the only person I've seen anything of in Love Island, because I didn't watch it last series, but like I think I was following it on Instagram, so you could pretty much follow the show.
Yeah.
But the only person I've become aware of is Davide.
Oh, man, he's a legend.
Is it?
He's a great guy.
Right.
He's sweet. Yeah.
So what's your problem with this Luca dude?
Luca's just like, he's toxic. He's just like, he's a bully. You know, he's a misogynist. Like, he did a thing, right, where they all, I don't know how much you know of Love Island, but they all go into this, is it Casa Amor or something like that, where they get
Casa
the chance.
Yeah.
They essentially get the chance to sort of meet other girls, right? Yeah. The other guys go in there, and a lot of them sort of, you know, cheated or whatever, and that's an awful thing to do. They go back, and obviously, but it makes a show. But then they also then take their medicine a bit. They've messed up. Yeah. Luca didn't cheat, but it's almost worse in the way he acted, because then he turns around to Gemma, the girl he's with, and he's like, "Well, I didn't cheat on you. I didn't cheat on her. It's literally like he's done her a favor by not cheating on her.
Right.
It's like you walking down the street and going, "Well, I haven't shot anyone in the face. Where's my fucking medal?" It's like, that's just not what we do. And so it was so, like, it was such a toxic way. And he was, oh, man, I'd say one of the most horrible people I've seen on television.
Jesus Christ.
In a reality show, I'd say he's one of
Any more
I've...
This year?
No. I think since probably like Nasty Nick.
His name starts with L. Do you want to just add the qualifications to make this a realistic thing to say?
No, as a reality TV thing, I hope that, because even when his parents came in, he went, "Oh, I've had a look at myself. And I'm actually going to change my behaviour." And from there, he's almost become worse. You know what it is? He's very, very handsome. And I don't think he's ever really had to sort of be brought to task. And anyone actually just, you know, he's just got walked through life. And he's treated people like shit. I genuinely find him really dislikable.
Oh, you've made me want to check him out now. And hopefully, what would be my absolute dream come true is if he is a fan of the Wolf and Our podcast. Yeah.
But I also have to shout out Ian Sterling. He is fucking a G on that. His voiceover work on that is incredible.
Speaking of Gs, can we take this opportunity to congratulate the Lionesses?
Oh, wow. Well done. Wow. Man.
Huh?
Mate, huh? I was, you know what? Sitting there with my daughter watching that, I got emotional, bro. I got really emotional watching. It was just like an incredible. Can I also just shout out how incredible, like, the game aside, right?
Yeah.
How amazing they were as people, like how they, like how accessible and how just normal and decent they were. Like there was no like the media training, and you know when you watch the men's league football, and I like, yeah, men's football was great. I don't think we should, but women's football was. They just felt so like. They just felt untouched by it all, and they just felt like they just enjoyed every single moment. I'd say it's up there in my top ever sporting events.
It seems to be a different vibe at women's football to men's football, doesn't it? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And like Martin Toosmoove is like my tour DJ. He was doing Box Park Wembley after the game, right? And during the game. And he said the atmosphere was like, obviously, the atmosphere at Final B unreal, but he said it was different. I mean, he goes, "There's like families out and shit like that," and he just said it was like, he just said the whole thing was good. It was good vibes, but I was not expecting England to beat Germany. I thought there was absolutely no way. If I'm being honest with you, so shame on me. Absolute egg on my face.
I was pumped for it. You know, the person I love the most in that. I mean, I love that tip. Jill Scott, I thought was incredible when she came on. Mm. I was just like, what a legend. She was just having no shit. That's like, Jill Scott was everything that football should be. And like, proper, like, did you watch her interview afterwards? I was like, yeah, that's a journey. And also shout out, like, and me and you have been fortunate to sort of meet like Alex Scott, Kelly Smith, and the people, like, when you look at like what they all had to do to get, you know, women's football where it is, it's a fucking incredible thing, man. Like genuinely incredible.
It's really good. It's great, man. And we want to say, from the Wolf for now, congratulations. I imagine that's probably up there with the trophy in terms of... I made the mistake of doing a gig straight after the final.
Oh, how was it?
It was fine, but...
Where did you gig?
I was at Always Be Comedy in Kennington. Always Be Comedy, great comedy club. But like, just that, you know, like, I was sitting on the stairs in the... You know, there's a stairs down the back of the pub, right? So I was sitting there... just after the game had finished, and like the door was open because it was absolutely roasting, and I just was looking in the streets, and it's just like people just like, "It's coming home." And I thought, I might have to pull this gig, man. I don't know what this is going to be like. But it was absolutely fine.
You know, ABC Comedy always feels untouched by the outside world. you know, like when you, I've played there when there's been big sporting events or other things going on in the world, and you go there and it's like a beautiful room that just feels quite serene and like nothing, yeah. It's untouched by whatever else is going on.
I'll tell you what did happen at that gig that night is that it was really hot in the room.
Yeah.
And I was just wearing a t-shirt, but that room's really packed. And I became conscious that I was sweating so much. This is disgusting what I'm about to say. I was conscious that I was sweating so much that, and you know, sometimes when you like, you know, when you say something or do an act out or something like that, you can see in the light,
yeah,
like a like sweat coming off you or whatever. I actually thought I might have to fucking give ponchos to the front row here, do you know what I mean? And allocate that splash zone.
Was it that much sweat?
Oh, mate, I was absolutely dripping.
Did you have armpitness?
No, because I'm wearing a white t-shirt, so very it's fine. But it started to do that thing where it gets moist and starts clinging to the body.
Mate, if you're going to bring this up, bro. We have to say that if it's clinging to the body is looking fine right now.
Fuck it.
You look good, man. Like, genuinely, I saw that picture. I saw Beckett put a little video up of you on Instagram.
Yeah, Beckett absolutely humiliated me there.
I genuinely was like, I felt like welling up.
Did you?
Man, you looked amazing. I was genuinely
up,
like...
Was it up there with one of the top Insta stories you've ever seen in your life?
Yeah, for you seeing you in for the hard work you've put in, because you like, I think it's fair to say you put in the hard yards. You're out there, you're going to the gym quite a lot. You eat, you're clearly eating well. Whatever you're doing is working for you. And man, you look good. You should like genuinely. I feel like genuinely quite emotional about it because I know that what a journey. I would love right now just to put my arm around you and just say well done, because I think it's incredible, man.
Oh, thanks, Tom. Well, but hold on, you've had the same thing, so.
Yeah, but no, but I think
I can't just say it back to you.
Yeah, but also, if I'm honest with you, I'm putting weight on again because I went through, like, having a baby, I just dropped off me, and now it was like, I don't know what I actually did. Whereas mine was nearly all anxiety and absolute fucking just drinking so much coffee because she wasn't sleeping. Now she's sleeping, I've gone back to sleep, and it seems like now I've got to fucking try and keep hold of stuff. Yours is genuine hard work. I think it's fucking incredible, man. I think you should give yourself a pat on the back.
No, you're being really sweet. Thank you.
No, I mean it, man. It's fucking good. It's inspiring. I think you should own that shit.
Unfortunately, don't feel any... Oh, no. Hold on. I've got to stop this. Okay, so what I was about to say was, instinctively, unfortunately, don't feel any more attractive or better for it. But that's not true. I'm glad I've lost the weight. But listen, we've got to... every time one of us goes to say something like this, we've got to, like, check ourselves before we wreck ourselves.
Because I will say that all the clothes you had on, naturally look better.
You reckon?
Like, even that hoodie you're wearing now. Yeah. I mean, is that a Sandbanks, yeah?
It is a Sandbanks little Jamie Redknapp hook up.
Let me just say, like, Sandbanks is a sick, sick brand.
It's a sick brand. Yeah. Because, like, when Jamie first was, like, talking about it, I was like, you know, this is a mate, do you know what I mean? But actually, the gear's wicked. The hoodies are great.
Mate, hoodies, I've got a nice little grey tracksuit you sent me. It's nice. It's some nice, nice bits. Shout out Jamie Redknapp. And also what they're doing, ethically.
Ethically, yeah, yeah.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I played in a golf tournament last week for the first time.
I need to talk about this, all right? Did you take a flight to play in a golf tournament?
No. Number one, that's what this YouTuber golf guy pro said.
Right.
As a joke. And it's been misconstrued. That number one, I could afford a private jet to fucking Glasgow for a game of golf is insane. Like, it's insane. Also, like, anyone who knows my fucking wife... She would fucking kill me, like, if I did. Like, for so many reasons, to go and play golf. I flew up there with BA, and I flew back with BA. It was just a normal flight, which actually fucked me, man. If I gigged them.
So hold on. But you did fly to Glasgow.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. This is what I'm trying to get my head around, okay? What is this tournament? Let me explain my reaction, okay?
Yeah.
I know how busy you are. Yeah. By the way, this is not me criticizing. I'm just trying to I'm just trying to get into your mindset on this, right? I know how busy you are. I know Hector you are. You've also got Grace, right? You flew to Glasgow to play in a golf tournament like you're what? A pro? What? You went to an airport. You went to an airport and got on a plane. And the reason you were getting on the plane is that at your destination, you were going to play golf. That's what happened. That's right. All those things are correct.
Yeah. I kind of am a golf pro, anyway.
So go on, talk me through it.
Well, I gigged in Brighton the night before. Flo, shout out Flo. I tried to pull the gig in Brighton because I had this golf tournament, and Flo pretty much had your reaction, saying you are actually a stand-up comedian. You're not a professional golfer. I've got to shout out Flo, by the way, because Flo is the person at the moment who's like genuinely, between you and Flo, I would not be back doing stand-up. There's no way in the world I would be doing it. I wouldn't have had the confidence to do it. And I wouldn't, like, Flo's just like push. And she's incredible. Like, I literally need to shout out someone. Like, she's amazing. But so she was like, you're doing that gig in Brighton. Like,
did she say it like that?
Yeah, genuinely. Because I said, oh, yeah, well, maybe. She was like, no, you sold tickets. You're doing that gig in Brighton.
Yeah. So was this a solo show? Was this Tom and Friends?
No, this was a solo show. It was just like me just doing like a warm work in progress for like
an
hour.
And you wanted to pull it to go to golf tournament?
Catherine went fucking livid. Catherine's seen me play golf. She was like, there's more chance of we as everybody. Like stand-up comedy is something you've given your life.
That's what I don't understand. It's like me saying to Lisa, I'm missing the first episode of League of Their Own because I'm entering a karate tournament. I've got to fly to Portugal to compete in the Cobra Kai Pro-Am.
So Flo was like, why don't you just fly up on the Saturday morning? On the Wednesday morning.
Why don't you fly up for your big tournament on the morning instead of pulling the gig for your big tournament?
So I fly up for this Pro-Am.
What time do you have to get up?
5 a.m.
Like you're a fucking sports person. 5 a.m. Oh yeah, on the grind again. But you got to hustle.
Back we go, man. Yeah. Fucking
watching motivational videos on the way to the airport. You got to be up before everybody else. Are they sleeping?
Tiger Woods documentary on the plane. I made the mistake of not taking my own clubs, so I didn't have any clubs. So it sort of deemed almost pointless even being there as soon as I got there and realised that all the clubs were too short for me.
Oh, is that why? Oh, God. Okay, there's so much to unpack here. So is that why when you turned up, I saw an Insta thing going, requested? So you've got up at 5 a.m, right? Nearly pulled a gig the previous night, get on the plane, arrive there, it's fucking Scotland. I realise that the golf clubs are not enough for you. I mean, fucking hell. At what point when you're walking around Glasgow did you think,
I've given you more and more ammunition, right? I flew to Glasgow, right? The course I was playing at was an hour and 10 minutes drive from Glasgow.
Were you totally like convinced that this is the right thing to do the whole way you're on your way there? I reckon, look, listen, I could imagine, I can't actually imagine deciding to get up early to fly to Glasgow to play in a golf tournament, but you are much better than me. But like, I reckon midway through that hour and 10 journey, I reckon I'd be thinking to myself, this might have been a mistake, really.
Look, me and you have been, like, in another country with a taxi driver, right?
Yeah.
I also make the mistake of every time I get in a taxi, making friends with the taxi driver.
Yeah.
So then there's no chance to sleep for an hour and a half, like, on the fucking drive. I'm then chatting to him about Glasgow and where he grew up. Yeah. Anyway, I get there, I haven't got the right clubs, and then I'm quite tired as well, because it takes it out of you, you know. It should be worth saying that I gigged in Brighton, which is like a 3-hour drive from my house the night before. So I've like literally spent all this time on it. Yeah.
Yeah. So what's so annoying to have a gig the night before a big tournament, isn't it?
So I played okay. I think I put in an all right shift.
Did you have a fun day? Did you enjoy it?
I really enjoyed it. Yeah, yeah. And like, man, fucking golf in Scotland is like, genuinely, it was an incredible thing. Shout out to the LPGA. Mate, women's golf is, I watch it all the time. I think it's brilliant. I watch it with Grace. It's like, I loved it, man. It was amazing.
It is good.
And had a great time. But then, yeah, literally finished the game of golf at 6.
Oh, my God. I just don't. And then was there any of you that regretted?
No. You know when I really regretted it? Is when I was getting in the car at 6:30 to go all the way back. No, I had like, I wouldn't be in my bed till like midnight, really.
What did Catherine say about this, by the way? Yeah. I know Catherine wouldn't stop you from doing stuff. No, she must have had an opinion.
Right? No. I think she knew that it was important. Like, it was, look, I should say as well, it's like, for like a friend of mine, Rory, has released this golf brand that he's doing off his own back, and it's all sort of very much like Sandbanks. It's all sort of recycled stuff, and he's making a go of it. And I'd said I'd do it.
Okay. Well, what you've done now is, look, I mean, big up. Is it Rory?
Rory, yeah.
And big up Rory and the brand. But now you've made me look like an absolute.
No, but also.
I've just done a 5-minute roast on your home.
It
turns out you did it for really noble reasons.
No, but it's an insane thing to do. Like, Catherine was like, really, but also Catherine is incredible. She's like, yeah, we're lucky. We've got, like, she's an amazing woman. She's like, look, you want to do it? Go. Also, I should say, I found it like absolute, and it, weirdly, in a week where the women's football, with them winning, I was chatting, shout out to Leanne Pace, who I was playing with. She was like, when I started chatting to her about sort of life and family and what she'd been doing as a PGA pro and stuff, it's like, she was sort of saying about just having children, it's just something that she can't really think of, in a sense of, as a golfer, it took her 10 years to get on the pro tour.
Yeah.
And then you've basically got to keep up playing to a certain level. And then if you were to have a child and go away from the game and take 2 or 3 years off, you know, you've got to hope that you've got someone at home who's going to be at home and do that side of it. And then you've basically got to hope that you can get back onto the tour and back to that level. It was like, you know, the amount of like all these women, and chatting to a few of them, you're like, fucking hell, man. It's like so much harder, man, for them. Like, yeah, you think like a bloke, you can just, you know, number one, the money's just insane in men's golf. You're talking about guys getting paid $60 million to go and play in another tour. And I just found it, it was just, yeah. In a week, it was quite eye-opening of the levels of difference that we have between men's sport and women's sport, and, you know, the infrastructure that sits upon either one. So, yeah, stick your fucking roast up your ass, you prick.
Oh. Okay. That's a nice way to end that. Okay. Let's...
email time,
some
baby.
Emails. Now, this is a quick one.
Yeah.
But I think this is quite an exciting one.
Wow. Okay. Wow, wow.
And I'd love to hear from more people that have had this happen. I think you're going to be quite excited about this. This is from the red-bellied sloth and the anxious rabbit. Okay. It says, hi to all of the pod animals from sunny Mallorca.
Wow, Mallorca.
Yeah. I just wanted to say thank you. This is pretty amazing. Thank you for giving me the confidence to do something I've never done before. After being married for over 10 years and going on numerous holidays together, I've had the confidence to spend the day at the beach with no shirt on. Wow. I'm not a big lad, but have body confidence issues. After listening to you guys, I thought, fuck it. I don't know these people. My wife thinks I'm all right, and that's all that matters. So again, a big thank you from the red-bellied sloth and newly converted to the pod, Anxious Rabbit.
My guy.
Yes! Huh?
I love it.
Oh my God.
It's the best, right? Hearing that. That's the fucking... Yeah. That will never get old, just hearing people doing that shit.
Yeah. Well, I imagine if it was just like 6-7 consecutive weeks, we'd probably start to get a bit fed up with it. I wish I'd have been able to say consecutive there. They're not going to be funny. Okay, next email. This is from The Moose.
Yeah, okay.
On this email, right? So I get these emails, and obviously it's like I use the Gmail kind of thing. And, like, it keeps putting up, like, suggested replies at the bottom of the email. So, like, this at the bottom of this email, it's got, like, a box going, thoughts? Or, sure, I'd be happy to chat. Like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, it's
What is there anybody that fucking presses that thing to reply that?
Mate, you know what it is? It's computers taking over, man.
What do you mean taking over?
No, people will start pressing those buttons because laziness kicks in.
Why does that mean they're taking over?
Mate, because all of a sudden our email replies and our text replies are just going to be fucking suggested, and we'll lose the art of even conversation via email and via social media. And then we'll just literally have to rely on computers for everything.
Yeah, well, thank God we haven't fallen in that hell already. Do you know what I mean? Otherwise, what is wrong with me? Fucking hell!
It's because you've had so much Red Bull.
Oh, mate, I'm sort of wired, but I'm anticipating a crash.
Of course there'll be a crash.
I imagine it'll be at 8:05 when I'm on stage in Portsmouth.
You're like a raging big penis, full of Viagra at the moment.
Yeah.
No, like, at some point you have to go flat in again.
My helmet is so purple right now. Just really fucking angry.
Like a porn star's dick. You just know at some point that it's all going to end. Just gonna be fucking sat in a fucking
God,
bucket of ice.
Just pathetic and shriveled. Just I think I was a bit angry on the podcast. Okay, this is from the Moose. It says, "Hello, Swan, Wolf, and Al. First of all, please allow me to say that although I live in the USA, I'm a huge fan of you both. I love King Gary and Avoidance as well as Judge Romesh and the Ranga Nation. My problem is not the most dire issue, but it's a tricky one, and I'd really appreciate your opinions on how to proceed." I'm an avid bowler and recently taken a part-time job at a bowling alley, mostly for the free bowling, as an opportunity to meet other bowlers in my new community. One of the people I've become friends with has a serious stuttering issue. As I'm generally very patient anyway, he and I have become quick friends and we'll often talk and practice together. The problem is, he has somehow gotten the impression that my name is Mark when it's actually Mike. I don't wear a name tag, so there's no real obvious way for him to see his error without me pointing it out. I've considered telling him directly, but every time I do it in my head, it sounds rude and at best it would be embarrassing for him. Do you have advice how to correct this small oversight by my new friend so that it's not hanging over our friendship longer? Thank you in advance and to the Swan for choosing my email. Okay.
Yo, Moose, Mark, this is easy, man. This is so easy. You just add him on Facebook. That's all you do, bro. You just literally make Facebook friends with him and then he's going to see your name is Mark and it's never going to be a thing because he just goes, oh shit, I've been calling him Mike. Either makes a joke out of it or he just starts calling you Mark because that's your name. And or you just follow him on Instagram. This is literally like where social media is an absolute blessing. Oh, I think we talked about this is almost like back in episode 2 or 3 of this podcast when I was calling my neighbor. I think I was calling him James and his actual name. Actually, his name is Mark. I don't know if it's the same Mark, and you just mentioned him. I haven't seen him recently, but I was doing that for ages, and then someone said what his name was. I made a joke out of it. Now we're firm friends, and he's an absolute legend of a man. So what I'd say is, just do that Facebook addy thing, or just basically walk up to someone else at the bowling alley, pay them like $20 or something, and say, look, come over like 3 or 4 times while with me and what's his face? Are playing, obviously you know his name, but I don't, while we're playing bowling. And just basically come over and just call me Mark. Just say, oh, like, here's another beer, Mark. Oh, Mark, these are those hot wings you wanted, Mark. Mark, are you coming to Cyril's birthday this weekend?
Can I get a couple more examples? Because I'm not sure what you mean.
Mark, are you wearing your actual own bowling shoes, or are they the ones I hire here? Mark, is that your VW Beetle that you've parked in here in the manager's spot. Mark, what t-shirt were you wearing the other day? I really liked it. So basically, just get someone to...
The problem with doing that, by the way, it's a great idea, but the problem with doing that is his name's actually Mike.
About a week later, turning go, my name's Mike. Why the fuck did that guy come over the other day? for an hour constantly calling him up.
Mate, can I have a quick chat with you, please? I know. Yeah, no, look, you did do it right. It's just that you keep doing it with the wrong name. Like you're reinforcing the mistake. Like.
If anything, two fucking people calling me Mark.
He's more convinced that my name is Mark than he ever has been, okay? Can you stop bringing chicken nuggets over? You know, the one thing I don't understand about this story is they're practicing bowling together. Aren't you putting your names in the fucking screen?
Oh.
What's going on?
Boom.
Do you not do that?
I might do nicknames like the Goose or something like that.
Okay, well, put Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Or Firewall.
I actually think you could be quite jokey about it. I reckon there's about 8 or 9 people that I regularly see that I've never asked their name, or they've told me their name and I've forgotten, and now it's too late to ever find out. And basically, every time I see them, I sort of hope that I overhear somebody referring to them. Do you know what I mean? Because it's, if I say, sorry, what is your name? They'll go, like, it would be the end of the relationship. I mean, you know. It'd be the end of the relationship. I was about to say that like it was bad. Obviously, I don't know them well enough to know their name.
No.
But I think you should... Jesus Christ, I need to calm down! What I think you should do, Mike, is you should just tell him, just make it a jokey thing. Just go, mate.
It would be hilarious. Maybe film it and send it in to the Wolf and Owl podcast. We could put it up as like one of our sort of funny viral videos.
Yeah, I can imagine that's going. So, mate... I'm just going to go up to this guy and tell him what my name is here. So, Wolf and I hope you enjoy. Hello, mate. How you doing? Oh, hey, Mark. How you doing? Yeah, good, man. Look, just a bit of a weird one. I know we've been hanging out for a bit. My name's actually Mike. It's not Mark. You seem to have gotten the, oh, is it? Yeah. Oh, so it's like, so you're not Mark? No, your name's Mike. Yeah. Oh, sorry about that. No worries, mate. Hope you enjoy that, Wolf and Owl. Peace.
Or he might say, well, why did you get that guy the other day to come for food calling you Mark?
Oh, dear. Okay. I hope that helps, mate. Okay. This is a tricksy one here. Dear Wolf, Owl, Swan and Cat, firstly, thank you for the pod. Shall I do that? Shall I do this like an MC, this one?
Yeah, try it, see what happens. Have you read it beforehand? Because if it's...
Actually, do you know what? It's slightly...
If it's a little bit somber, you've done that before. You've done that before and you've given something a little bit too much stank. And it's quite a sort of... You get halfway through and realise that...
It's horrible. Yeah. That gear change, isn't it? I'm not entirely sure what's going on. Okay. Firstly, thank you for the pod. I'm often giggling myself around the house or vibrating the bed at night with silent laughter. It's a perfect distraction from the stresses of life. I really am very grateful. The two of you are true gems. Thank you. I'm hoping you might be able to offer some advice. My other half of 13 years, husband of 1 month, best friend and all-round sweet, sweet soul, has an awful habit of putting his hands down his pants, mostly in the mornings and evenings, generally when he's relaxing, but it's a daily thing. I'm not entirely sure what he's doing down there. I think cupping his balls. I'm pretty certain it's a comfort thing, but I really don't like it. It's not particularly hygienic, and it's also not a good look in front of our 5-year-old daughter. I've brought it up a few times and said I don't like it for the reasons I've mentioned, and although he'll stop when I mention it, 5 minutes later it's back in again. Not to annoy me, I'm sure it's just a habit. My question is, how do you break habits that are ingrained or encouraged by someone to try and break theirs without being an absolute nag? Thank you. Is there anything either of you have had to work on to make the Swan and Cat happier and vice versa?
So I actually do this a little bit. I actually, when I'm relaxing, I don't know why, I find it quite comforting putting your hand just down in front of your trousers.
Do you actually go hand on skin?
No, sometimes put it down in front of my trousers, like on my boxer shorts, but I don't know why, I just find it quite a comforting thing. But Catherine's like, what are you doing? Like, you know, and then I'll go and wash my hands and then sit back. And then I'll, but Catherine, you know the thing that...
Well done for throwing in the lie that you go and wash your hands and come and sit back.
You know the thing that, like, has been a bone of contention that, like, is, like, and I've tried to stop, but now and again I slip back into, when I get really hungry, is eating with my mouth open.
What?
Like, if I'm really, really hungry, and, like, you know, like, I don't know, like a takeaway comes and you're like, you know, the first thing you're going to eat, like, is, you know, you'll smash your prawn crackers or your poppadoms or whatever, or even, like, your chips.
Yeah, I'm in the room with you. Go.
Yeah. But I get so excited that they're there, I'll literally grab them and go, and then like, eat them with my mouth open. And then Catherine's
like, the fucking Cookie Monster.
Yeah, I mean, cookies is another thing that happens with. And Catherine will go, oh, for fuck, like, close your fucking mouth. She's like, it's disgusting.
Did she say that? Did she say, close your fucking mouth?
She's got to the point now where it is, there's an F word just thrown into it. Because it is like, even though I know it's disgusting, I just get so excited when the food gets there. But I'm so hungry.
Do you, because when you did it just then, you put your face up to the cat. Like, are you in her face?
I don't squeeze up to her face. But it, like, I know it sounds like fucking someone's put bricks in a washing machine. It's like, like, I get really into it.
I've got an eating problem.
Go on.
That was initially pointed out to me by Rob Beckett, right. And now I've realised that it's real, and I'm trying to work on it. And I'm pretty sure Rob's not the only person that's noticed it. But I do a thing where, like, if I've got a fork, it's very difficult to sort of explain. But when I'm bringing a fork of food to my mouth, my tongue darts out just before the food goes into my mouth, like almost like a welcoming party. You know what I mean? It's like sort of like this lizardy kind of like that. And Rob told me I did it, and I didn't believe him because nobody's ever said it to me. And then I watched the bit back, and I am like, the food just comes, and it's like I'm a gecko, and a fly's got just close enough for me to take.
So you lick the food off the fork?
It's sort of like my tongue meets it first.
What, like a red carpet. Like a security guard.
And then bring
make sure it's all right if you come in. Like, he's asking the food for ID.
Yeah, I've had to try and stop it because I think it's...
That's harder really to stop than eating with your mouth open.
Well, thanks for the pep talk.
No, that's because I think...
I think that's a lifetime habit, whereas you have just, I don't know, picked up as a recent thing to be more attractive to Catherine.
Also, sometimes if your nose is blocked, you'll always eat with your mouth open, right?
Yeah. And that's also the noise. But by the way, the other thing I want to talk about is the fact that you nearly gave me a hang up. Do you remember when we were coming back from the Gaelic football?
Yeah.
I mean, you told me, you basically asked me really sort of earnestly and sincerely, mate, why do you keep touching yourself when you're like laying around your genitals and stuff?
I said, have you got an itchy willy?
Yeah. Oh yeah, you did say that. Have you got an itchy willy? And I go, why? And you go, you just keep like scratching yourself and touching yourself down there. And then I was like, do I? And you went, yeah. No, just like, are you right? And I was like, do I? And you went, yeah, you do, yeah. Like, a couple of the guys would notice as well. I was like, what? You carried on for so fucking long. I was genuinely convinced I had a thing. Because you're such a good friend, you thought to yourself, I'm good. You know what? I'm going to give him another hang-up as a gift.
That is so funny because I said it in such a, like, I genuinely thought, like, you really, because like, you have, like, a load of different Rameshes, right? If there was bang on Ramesh there, you'd have been, oh, fuck off. Like, it's to turn to, like, one of your favourite people and your best pals in the world and say, have you got an itchy willy? Right? You told me to fuck, because you were in a certain headspace, I went, have you got an itchy willy? And you went, why? I thought you just keep on.
Anyway, we've not been helpful. We've not been helpful to
what I'd, talk, what I'd so. Say is, I'd just say probably just keep on just saying to him, boom, stop doing that, and then hopefully it'll work. That's what I'd say.
Here's my question, Jim. Does he want to stop? Because you're never going to get him to stop if he doesn't want to stop.
That's true.
So I would have a chat with him to find out. And then what I would do is, if he does want to stop, then you have to make an agreement that you'll call him out every single time he does it. And that'd be quite annoying. It's quite a job for you. But if you really want him to stop and he really wants to stop,
that's the only way.
Then that's the only way to do it. And it might not be, you know, if you don't want it to be you nagging, it could be, this is a mad suggestion that I've just come up with, but like, if he wears boxer shorts, get him to put on a, by the way, I'm freestyling this, but I do think it'll work. Get him to wear a pair of pants underneath his boxer shorts or something else, like something.
What, white fronts?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe some briefs or something, right? Yeah. Because then what will happen is every time he goes to do that, he'll go, why am I wearing a... And then he'll remember it's because he's not supposed
that's
to.
That's actually really, really good advice.
I just made that up. Do you think that... I think that might work. I think that might work.
Again, maybe. Like, for that new segment that you've been talking about, is film him with his
That's
new...
a great idea. Actually, do you know what? Clip together all the instances when your husband's cupping his balls, please.
And then, yeah, send him in.
And send it in.
We almost can blur out his face on one of his... And he's out.
Yeah, when we play it onto the audio podcast.
Oh, you know what we need to do is we need to sort out... That guy who did the animation was incredible. We should shout him out, man. That was amazing. I've been talking to
him. Yeah, what's his name?
I'll have to find out.
We'll edit the bit out where Tom looks at his phone.
There you go, right. So shout out Joseph for doing that. Incredible. I think that, yeah, hopefully we can do a few more of those. I mean...
Yeah, the response was mad. I actually think if we can get him to do more of those... I mean, although the labour intensivity...
Actually, it's not. He said he could do them pretty easily. But you know what we should do, actually? Let's just do this. I don't know if we should do it as a poll, but if Joseph and his team can animate, say, 10 clips from the past episodes, what would be the clips that you want them to animate? I guess that would be a good question.
Okay. Well, you want that email? You want that?
Yeah. Then you could.
So we just get the swan to process all of that.
No, but you've got a bit of time off after these two gigs, you said. So you could go through those.
I'm going away.
Yeah, but like when you're sitting by the pool, you could just like get up a little tally chart.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Thanks so much, Jem. I hope that helps.
Yo, Jem.
Good luck.
Keep it real, yeah.
Okay, let's finish off with this, actually.
Cool.
This is, last week we talked about doing a small business shout out, and we've got loads in, so we're going to work through them as much as we possibly can. I have since had it confirmed that the Parenting Hell podcast do this, so that's good. It's good to know that.
But you know what? It's maybe a collab kind of vibe that we're both just shouting out as many businesses as we can.
With Parenting Hell?
Well, no, I just think that there can't be
enough. I can see the benefits for us. I can't see any benefits for them, really.
No, I don't think there'll be enough people shouting out small businesses at this time in society.
Okay. So this is actually quite appropriate, bearing in mind the fringe is on. Hello, I'm shouting at a small business from the city of Edinburgh. For the past 2 months, I've had the pleasure to work in a cafe called Cactus Coffee, just off Princes Street. Oh, no, Princes Street.
I know well.
Behind the Apple Store, Cactus sits to serving delicious foodie bits and bobs, as well as being entirely... Cactus themed, not only super cool, but aesthetically very pleasing. Not only is the food great, but the people I work with are sweet, sweet souls like yourselves who love shooting the breeze and making Cactus feel warm and welcoming. It's the best job I've had whilst being a student and couldn't ask for a better team to work with. If you're ever in Edinburgh, give Cactus Coffee a visit. Love the pod, guys. Keep doing you. Kind regards, Cara.
Wow. Cactus Coffee, hit it up. I kind of want to just jump on a train to Edinburgh now and just get a Cactus Coffee. Take my golf clubs.
Also, I forgot to mention this. Two guys in... Oh, by the way, shout out Cactus Coffee. Head over there. There were two guys in the front row at the show yesterday wearing T-shirts going, "You saying you do you."
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, amazing.
I just wanted to let
you know. Are they official merchandise, are they?
No.
Oh, well, maybe we should actually sell those.
I did shake the hat. I'm sure we will do in a bit. You'll be straight on the phone, won't you? Revenue stream that we've missed out on. So guys, keep sending in your small business and we'll shout out as many as we can.
And also, one of the things I'm quite conscious of is Romesh is gonna have a lovely break, a nice little time away. So I guess other pictures of you on your holiday doing so many things, ping those into the podcast. So yeah, like it's sort of like a holiday club for Romesh and the guys. That'd be quite cool, Rom.
Okay. Tom, it's that time, baby. Take us out.
Pete Lowcroft had yearned all his life to have the biggest birthday cake in the town. Every year it came to his birthday and his parents would get him the smallest little cupcake because they couldn't afford a big cake. Pete Lowcroft would go to other people's birthday parties and always just feel really, really jealous of these big birthday cakes when he used to see them glistening, covered in lovely icing and numbers upon the top of them. Pete Lowcroft used to turn to his parents and say, "Yo, for my birthday this year, I'd love a really big, big cake." And old Mother Lowcroft and old Father Lowcroft would turn around and say, "Well, you know what, Pete? Like, we can't really afford birthday parties and such or big birthday cakes. We use all of the savings we have for the cupcake that we give you." As time passes on, Pete Lowcroft gets a really, really good job. And he throws a birthday party himself. And he goes into a big cake emporium and he said, "Can I get the biggest birthday cake of all?" And he gets it and he has a massive birthday party and loads of people turn up and everyone basically starts having a big slice of his birthday cake. And some people like it and some people don't, because you can't please everyone all the time. So some people are like, oh, this is a carrot cake. I don't really like carrot cake. Oh, I love carrot cake. And Pete Lowcroft stands and watches people, and no one really, really seems to have as much enjoyment out of it as he thinks. And he has a slice of it, and he just thinks, that wasn't quite as amazing as I thought it was. And old Mother Lowcroft comes over, and she's just got a little solemn cupcake made just for him. And she gives it to him, and she says, I brought you this little cupcake, like I always do. And he has a bite from it, and it tastes all the sweeter. And he scoffs it, pushes it into his mouth as fast as he can. The moral of the story is this. Sometimes amazing things come in small packages. Enjoy the gifts given to you. That can be anything. A nice bit of weather, a walk in the sun, a cuddle with a child, or the stroke of a dog. Don't always be looking for the bigger piece of the cake. Or that silky icing that you think might change your life for the better, but invariably won't. Love now and enjoy you, because you know what? You got this.
Nice. Really nice. Really, really nice.
I've got to say, when I started that off, I really didn't know any idea where that was going to go.
No, it's quite complicated. It's a little bit like Pulp Fiction, I thought. okay, guys, thank you so much for listening to The Wolf and Out. I'm sorry about my Red Bull levels of aggression. We are playing out. JT, have you got a song, by the way? I have got a song.
No, you go. Okay. I think this you should song... do the songs. I'll do the sum ups. That's cool.
Okay, fine. So the song that we're playing out this week is something that it's summer. Put this on as you bop out the house. You'll feel great. It's 3-6 Mafia, Stay Fly. Guys, thank you so much.
Big up yourselves.
Peace out.
Sweet souls.
Big up yourselves. Love you. Bye.
Bye. I gotta stay high. Until I die. Hey, call me the juice and you know I'm a stunt. Riding in the car with some bump in the trunk. Tone in my lap and you know it's a pump. Bring it down the good green, roll in the blunt. Get up here tight, girl, say I'm the main. Ice on the wrist with the ice in the chain. Ride through the hood, yeah, I'm dripping the grain. And I'm sipping the same while I'm changing the lane.
If you have a problem, opinion, feedback, or anything at all, please email us at wolfowlpod@gmail.com. That's wolfowlpod@gmail.com. Thank you.